Going to be in Ephesians chapter 6 this morning, and we'll also look at several other places in the Word of God as we talk about the struggle. And I want you to give me your attention today, because I so believe that the Lord wants to speak to our hearts. I want to share a story with you in a moment that is one of the most powerful things that I've ever had happen to me, and it didn't happen within the walls of a church. How many of you know that God sometimes will meet us in unexpected places? And something happened a number of years ago that I want to share with you that I believe will encourage you, no matter how difficult, no matter how challenging and trying your storm or your struggle or your situation may be today. So I'm going to utilize technology and read the scripture. And the main reason I do this is because I'm 53 years old now, and without this, I need glasses. But with this, I can blow the font up and I can read. So I'm reading my my scriptures and the message today from blown up font, so I don't have to wear glasses. But anyway, Ephesians chapter 6 in the Amplified, I love how it reads. In Ephesians 6 and verse 10, it says, "In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Draw your strength from Him and be empowered through your union with Him and in the power of His boundless might. Put on the full armor of God, for His precepts are like the splendid armor of a heavily armed soldier, so that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the schemes and the strategies and the deceits of the devil. For our struggle," everybody say struggle, "for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly or supernatural places. Therefore, put on the complete armor of God so that you will be able to successfully resist and stand your ground in the evil day of danger. And having done everything that the crisis demands, to stand firm in your place, fully prepared, immovable, and victorious." How many of you could stand to live and walk in that place? "Having done everything that the crisis demands, to stand firm in your place, fully prepared, immovable, and victorious." See, I think a lot of us sometimes think about struggle or storms or suffering or trials and tests as something that happens to us separate from and apart from God's redemptive plan for us. But Ephesians 6, and in a moment we're going to read from James chapter 1. James and other places in God's Word remind us that storms and struggles and suffering and trials and tests do not happen to us separate from or apart from God's redemptive purpose. They are indeed a part of His plan of redemption and His plan of rescue for us. The pressure that we experience from time to time. The various trials, the storms, the struggles, they produce in us Christ-likeness. They help us mature. They help us grow into being all that God has for us to be. And when we learn the joyful trust in a God who knows all things, we're able to overcome our trials. We used to sing, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. So it's in those times of trials, struggles, storms, suffering, pain, disappointment, disillusionment. By the way, that word disillusionment, think about it. That is a very good word, because disillusioned means that you are no longer illusioned. It means that you are seeing things as they really are. Disillusion. So now you are in a place where you see things clearly. You're seeing things as they really are. Look at James chapter 1, another powerful verse of scripture that says, consider it wholly joyful, my brethren. And in the message, it says this. I love the way it's worded in the message. Consider it a sheer gift. Watch this. When tests and challenges come at you from all sides, you know that under pressure, everybody say under pressure. Under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work in you so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. I don't know about you, but I'm always trying to get out of stuff. I want it to get over. And yet James says, don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let faith do its work in you. In 1967, a lady by the name of Johnny Erickson Tada, some of you know her stories. It may be new for many of you. But she jumped into the Chesapeake Bay, and she misjudged the depth of the water. And Johnny Erickson Tada came out of those waters forever changed. She would from that point be a quadriplegic, living her entire life since 1967 in a wheelchair. So where are we at now? That's 50 years. 50 years this year, Johnny Erickson Tada has lived her life in a wheelchair. And she's written and spoken and talked a lot about her experience. And she's been an inspiration to a lot of people. I think she's a picture of James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. She models joy in the midst of suffering. And she shows that even when we don't understand it and when tragedy strikes and misfortune happens, that God often has a good and a redemptive plan that emerges out of our suffering and our struggle. And on one occasion, Johnny discussed having her wheelchair in heaven. I want you to listen to this. Stay with me, because she said, I hope I can take my wheelchair to heaven with me. She said, now I know that's not biblically correct, but if I were able, I would have my wheelchair up in heaven right next to me when God gives me a brand new glorified body. And then I'll turn to Jesus and I'll say, Lord, do you see that wheelchair right there? Well, you were right when you said that in the world we would have trouble. Because that wheelchair was a lot of trouble. But Jesus, the weaker I was in that thing, the harder I leaned on you. And the harder I leaned on you, the stronger I discovered you to be. So thank you for what you did in my life through that wheelchair. And then Johnny closed that particular interview by saying, and now I always say jokingly, you can send that wheelchair to hell. So how do you live with that kind of joy in the midst of 50 years of being a quadriplegic? 50 years of living your life in a wheelchair? We know the ultimate answer to that question is that kind of joy only comes from the supernatural and abiding presence of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit in our lives. And James and Ephesians and a few other verses of Scripture we're going to look at right now helps us understand how to have that kind of joy in the midst of our struggles. We will experience struggle. Every one of us in this room, if you are not in a season of struggle right now, you are likely coming out of one, or I hate to tell you, there may be one ahead. But we all experience struggle. It is a part and parcel of our Christian life. Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration, but be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you. So suffering is a part and parcel of our life. Struggle, pressure, frustration, distress, trials, tribulation. I love 1 Peter chapter 4. And again, this is from the Message. I love the way it's worded here. Friends, when life gets really difficult, listen to this, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. Instead, be glad that you are in the very thick of what Christ experienced. This is a spiritual refining process with glory just around the corner. So when trials come, don't think that God isn't on the job. We will experience struggle. We will experience disappointment and distress and suffering and pain. And it's not just a goal that we should have to endure. Endurance is not the goal. Maturity and completion in Jesus Christ is the goal. Becoming more and more like Him, being fashioned and molded and made into His image. That's the goal. Paul talks about it in Romans 8. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. All things. Now, how many of you know that's a great verse to quote when you got a check in the mail that you weren't expecting? Hallelujah. All things work together for good. But according to Paul, the all things include the things that make me cry, the things that are hard to go through, the struggles, the suffering, the pain, the disappointment. The second verse of the song we just sang, yes, the unexpected news has torn your world apart. Doubt keeps raging. You've stopped praying. Faith lost in a desperate heart. But don't lose hope. Just listen close. There's a whisper louder than your storm. A gentle voice above the noise. Though your seas may be disturbed, winds and waves obey his word. There's a whisper louder than your storm. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3 and 4. It says this: moreover, let us also be full of joy now. We are glad for our troubles also. We know that troubles, watch this, we know that troubles help us learn not to give up. When we've learned not to give up, it shows that we have stood the test. And when we have stood the test, it gives us hope. It gives us hope. So I want to share something with you, because to me, stories are powerful, and especially life experiences and life stories. By the way, how many of you know that most of what Jesus taught us, he taught us in the form of stories? The kingdom of heaven is like, and he would tell us a parable or a story. And several years ago, I was flying back from Cincinnati to San Diego, and my connection was in Detroit. And when I got on the plane in Detroit, I found my row in my seat was an aisle seat. And the other two passengers were already seated. One man on the, my seat was the window seat. There was a man on the aisle, and then there was a young lady in the middle seat. So I brushed past both of them to get to my window seat. And when I did, the man sitting in the aisle seat turned toward me and he said, "Hello, sir. My name is Chuck Sketch. Who am I privileged to meet today?" And when I looked at him, he had no legs. Both of them were amputated right below the waist. He had a deep sunken place on the side of his head here in the brain area, so it was obvious that he had had some kind of accident or surgery of some sort. And so when he said, "Hello, sir, my name is Chuck. Who am I privileged to meet?" I told him my name, and I sat down, and we started talking. Now, mind you, the young lady that was in the middle seat between us, it was pretty obvious that she was hoping to sleep on this trip, because as we talked, she pulled the blanket up over her head and was trying to sleep. And Chuck started telling me the story of being a United States Marine and serving his time and getting out of the Marine Corps and being a picture of health and looking forward to a wonderful and a normal life. And just a few months after getting out of the Marine Corps, he started having terrible headaches. And He went to the doctor, and through a series of tests, they discovered that he had a tumor. And it was the type of tumor that had tentacles that was attaching itself to various parts of the brain, and it was going to be a very delicate surgery if they were able to do a surgery at all. And so at first they tried to treat it with other methods, hoping to shrink it, and it just wasn't working. And so they said, we have no choice but to operate. And so they set the date for the surgery. And before he could have the surgery, the tumor grew to the point that it cut off the blood flow to his optical nerves, and he lost eyesight in both eyes. So he has the surgery a few weeks later. The surgery, according to the doctors, went as well as they could have hoped. It went as well as they could have expected. But while he was in the hospital recovering from this surgery, he developed blood clots in both legs. And they had to amputate both legs right below the waist. Now, this young man was in his late 20s at the time. He had served in the Marine Corps. He was a specimen of a well-built young man. Now his eyesight is gone. His legs are gone. And he's talking to me with an expression of joy and smile on his face. He doesn't know at this point that I'm a preacher. He knows nothing about me, and he's telling me this story and talking about how he reads books with audio through his computer, and he competes in the Wounded Warrior Special Olympics and swims and does the wheelchair races and all the things that he's involved in, and he's just bubbling with joy. It took him obviously a few more minutes than what I've just taken to tell you this story. And so after about 25 minutes of being on that plane and listening to Chuck's story, I said, Chuck, I need to ask you a question. You've told me about going from being a Marine and being a picture of health and a body that's in shape to losing your eyesight and having this brain tumor, losing your legs, and yet you have such joy and you're expressing such gratitude for life, and I don't pick up any sense of bitterness at God or bitterness at life or feeling as though you've been handed a bad deck of cards. I said, Chuck, how do you do that? He said, I'm so glad you ask. Now, mind you, he still doesn't know anything about me. He said, I'm so glad you ask. He said, there's a verse of scripture in the Bible that says, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but not destroyed. For which cause we faint not, for though this outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. And then he said, and there's another verse that says, and our light affliction, which is just for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And I had to stop him right there. And by this time, folks, tears are rolling down my face. Of course, Chuck can't see that, but I'm weeping. And I said, Chuck, you just said our light affliction You quoted a scripture that says light affliction, and you're using it in reference to what you've been through. You've lost your eyesight. You've lost your legs. And you're calling it light affliction. I said, I'm a preacher, Chuck. You don't know that, but I'm a preacher. I'm a singer, a musician, preacher. And I said, what you've just shared with me is the most amazing story I've ever heard in my life. And I said, with your permission, I want to be able to share it with people. And he just beamed and said, absolutely. And we actually flew him to Hamilton, Ohio, and we wheeled his wheelchair up on the stage, and he shared his story. I interviewed him, and we talked about what happened to him, and he shared his story. And by the way, when he got to that part about our light affliction, that girl that had been trying to sleep, she pulled that blanket off of her head, and she was weeping. And she said, I can't believe what I've just heard. She said, I got on this plane wanting to just sleep because I just left the funeral of my grandmother, and my family is so dysfunctional. People are fighting over silly things, and it's been a nightmare. I wanted to get on this plane and go back to San Diego and sleep, and you guys have talked the whole time. And she said, but what I just heard is the most amazing thing I've ever heard. I can't believe your attitude with the things you've gone through. She said, would you please pray for me and pray for my family? And so Chuck and I had the privilege of praying for that young lady that was in the middle seat between us on the flight from Detroit to San Diego. How does that happen, folks? How do you have eyesight disappear and legs disappear, go through the ordeal of a brain surgery and all the things as a young man, and come out saying, our light affliction, which is just for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. That takes a supernatural faith and an understanding of how to have joy and peace and the love of Christ and the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to go through the storms of our life and say, I will count it all joy. I won't look at life as though it's dealt me a bad deck of cards or it's made me less than because of what I've been through, the physical challenges, the handicaps, the suffering, the struggle, the pain. I want the guys to come back to the instruments, and we're going to go back into that song in just a few moments. There's a whisper louder than your storm. But right now, I just want you to open up your heart to receive what the Lord wants to say. Because I believe there's some people here today. I believe there's some people here this morning that maybe it's the loss of a relationship. Maybe it's the loss of security, the loss of a job, a child, husband, mother, wife, father, sickness, whatever it may be that you're facing today. When challenges come at us from all sides, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. So, Father, today I pray for every person in this room on this Sunday morning in the first service at Elevation Church in Indianapolis. I pray, God, right now for someone who feels like life hasn't made any sense and the struggle has become almost too much to bear. Lord, somehow through the indwelling of your Holy Spirit and the supernatural work of the Christ life in us, somehow, God, help us to have the attitude of Johnny Erickson Tata and Chuck Sketch. That in the midst of affliction, in the midst of struggle, in the midst of disappointment and pain and things that right now do not make sense, that we do not understand, I pray right now for the peace of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to minister to people in this service right now. In this moment when we're just here allowing that whisper to speak deep to our hearts, deep into our spirits, is there anybody in this room that would just say, Pastor, I'm in a storm. I'm in a situation where I've felt pressure. I've felt struggle. I'm walking through a season of dealing with stuff. And today, the Word of God, the message, the Holy Spirit is speaking to my heart and causing me to see that I can be an overcomer. I can walk through these storms without letting them rob me of my joy and my peace and the love that I have in my heart for God. Is there anybody in this room, physically, financially, relationally, you've got something right now and you'd just like to lift your hand, put it right back down and say, I want you to pray for me. Yes, yes, yes. I want, yes, all over the room, all over the room. You've lifted your hand. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. So, Lord, right now I pray for these that are here. I pray for these that lifted their hands, that today they will leave here with an assurance and a confidence in their hearts that maybe they were lacking when they walked in this morning. God, that the Word of God that is alive, it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It speaks to us where we're at in our daily experience. I pray right now that the Word of God will fortify the faith of these people who lifted their hands. I pray for healing, Lord, where there's physical pain. I pray for healing where there's physical sickness. We know that you're the same God. You are the same healer, the same redeemer, the same amazing God. So, Lord, we pray for healing. I pray for finances to be released, Lord, where there's situations and people are unsure and uncertain and there's no real security right now. I pray for your provision, your financial blessing over them. And Lord, where there's been stuff happen that's relationally an unexpected turn in the road, you are the God of restoration. You're the God of putting things back together. You're the God of taking what looks broken and restoring. And so I pray that, Lord, over those who may be walking through that right now. I thank you, God, that you are faithful. I thank you that we can look to you and not be overwhelmed. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. So, Lord, right now I just pray that you would minister hope, life, peace in the midst of struggle and uncertainty. In the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen.